Pastor Jordan, praise team. I'm excited to be singing Christmas songs. I sing them year-round in my house, but try not to out in public a lot. But just the blessing of the Christmas season. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Remember, 2 weeks ago we started to... I say that sarcastically when I say you remember 2 weeks ago, because I know you don't remember 2 weeks ago. We start to look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And we looked at the first half of our outline, the first 5 points. We looked at number one, we see whoever wishes to become great. So James and John come to Jesus, and they say, "We want those positions of honor. We want to sit on your right and on your left. We want to be recognized. We want to be right there beside you." Then we noticed the second thing, what James and John got right. Because in verse 37, when we looked at the context, so they said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." What they got right was the fact that Jesus is going to sit on the throne in reign in his glory. And that's a good thing to be right about. Knowing that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we looked at what they got wrong, because there were several things that they got wrong. Because Jesus said to them, "Are you willing to drink the cup that I will drink? Are you willing to go through the baptism that I'm going to go through?" And then they said, "Yes, we are," in verse 39. "We are able." But then he said something interesting to them. "The cup that I drink, you shall drink." You know what? You're right. You are going to suffer, and you're going to hurt, and you're going to go through some of these hardships. He says, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you should be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, that's not mine to give. It's for those for whom it's been prepared." He said, "God knows, my Father knows, who those positions are reserved for. And I have no control about that. That's already been determined by God. But are you willing to go through all these things?" And they didn't understand the concept of how the depth of the magnitude of the suffering that would involve and all that would take place during that time. And then we see the response of the other disciples, because basically they want the same thing. The Bible says that they became indignant. They were ticked off because James and John got there first. You know, they wanted those positions too. And so Jesus replies to them in basically the same way, but he uses some different terminology. He says, instead of the cup and baptism and those things, he says, if you want to be great, you got to learn to be a servant. If you want to be truly great, you have to be the slave of all. And we looked at that number 5. What does it mean to be the slave of all? And Jesus said, it means you're willing to serve to the point of death. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So that's the context of Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And so now we pick up there and we move into number 6, the radical call to be served by Jesus. The radical call to be served by Jesus. Because in that context, Jesus gives us a powerful Christmas promise about future grace. Yes, we live in his grace now, but we have that promise of future grace that we can't even comprehend. We can't even begin to grasp. Now, as far as I know, no other religious leader in the history of the world has done what Jesus promised here. He says here in verse 45 that this radical call to discipleship, this call to come and drink the cup of suffering that he's going to drink, this call to service is not a call to serve Jesus, but it's a call to be served by Jesus as we serve others and as he ransoms us from death. Listen to that again. The good news of Christmas is that the radical call, to Christian discipleship is not a call to serve Jesus. Yes, we know in Scripture we are to serve God, but he's teaching us a new concept here. This radical call to discipleship is not a call to serve Jesus, but to be served by Jesus as we serve others and to be ransomed by him from death. That's what we see when he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Now, at first, this sounds just like an example to follow. Don't lord it over others, but instead serve them. Come alongside them. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and he's referred to throughout the book of Mark, the Son of Man has come to give you an example as he serves. But we see, number seven, that it's much, much more than an example. It's much, much more than an example. I want you to look at that verse. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Hopefully you have your Bibles open in front of you. Read through that three times right now. You've heard me say it again and again and again. Read through it three times right now. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, this is not just some example for me to follow. He is not just saying, "Serve the way that I serve." This is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, serving me, ransoming me from sin and death, refusing to be served by me and insisting on being the servant and savior of my life. This is not just another teacher with some rules about how to live. He's not just another teacher gathering some radical disciples to live the way that he lives and to stir up a revolution. We have had leaders throughout history who have done that. We've had the Hitlers. We've had the Saddam Husseins, the Osama bin Ladens, the David Koreshes, and on the list could go. Those charismatic leaders who are entertaining, who are captivating, and you hang on to their words, and maybe at first you don't even believe their message, but pretty soon they have a following that's unbelievable. And people are willing to do anything for them, and they're willing to lead a revolution. That's not what Jesus Christ is doing here. This is a man, not just an ordinary man, we know that, telling his disciples that he has come into the world to serve them. Come into the world to serve them. He doesn't want them to serve him. He says, and he will lay down his life so that they can be ransomed from sin and death. That's unheard of. Understand how wild this is. No one ever spoke this way. No one has ever come about and led this way. No respected religious leader ever spoke this way. So Jesus is either above every ordinary teacher with supernatural power and dignity, or he is a lunatic. When he calls for radical, self-sacrificing discipleship, he gives a reason in verse 45. "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Yes, this is a call to act the way that he acted. But it's so much more. Because the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Not to be served by whom? Who does he not want to be served by? The very disciples that he has said, "Take up my cup, serve others, be the slave of all, but don't serve me." Number eight, we see he says, "Be my disciples, don't serve me." Be my disciples, don't serve me. Yes, he is saying, because he said it very clearly in the verses before, "Drink my cup. Yes, share my baptism. Yes, serve others. Yes, be the slave of all." That's what it means to be my disciple, he says, but don't serve me. I haven't come to be served. I'm not going to be served like this. I will be the servant. I haven't come to be served, but to serve. And he says, in your relationship with me, I will be the servant. I will serve you. I will come alongside you. In essence, he's saying that to them, "Do you think that you can drink this cup without my help and my service? Do you think you can endure the suffering of my baptism without my help, without my serving you? Do you think you can become the kind of person that renounces fame and human status to serve everyone else without me serving you day and night for the rest of your life? Absolutely not." Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's saying, apart from me, you can't drink my cup. Apart from me, you can't go through that baptism that I'm going to go through. Apart from me, you can't serve others. Apart from me, you can't be the slave of all. To do any of that, we have to abide in Christ. And we have to let him serve us. Abiding in the vine and being served by Jesus Christ are the same thing. I have to have that relationship with him, and I have to trust him, and I have to come under him. But we also see number nine, a Christmas demand and promise. A Christmas demand and promise. Jesus is saying, Christmas means that the Son of Man comes. And when he comes, he demands something and he promises something. He demands your life, all of it. That's what he says to them. Go through, give me everything. Drink the cup, go through the baptism, be slave of all, be a servant. He demands everything, that we take on that lifestyle that sacrifices everything for the sake of serving others. And that's hard. It's impossible. It's what he said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. They come to him and they say, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. It's impossible to drink the cup of suffering. It's impossible to become everybody's servant unless. That's what Mark chapter 10, verse 45 is in our Bibles. It's the great unless. You can't do any of this unless you let Jesus Christ serve you. Unless the Son of Man is serving you day and night. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 turns Christianity into the gospel. If Christianity were only a great and radical teacher calling for sacrificial obedience of radical disciples, that wouldn't be good news. It'd be just another ideology. It'd be just another philosophy, another moral improvement program. If Christmas only meant that a man appeared on the scene of history to call others to be servants, that wouldn't be good news. It wouldn't help any of us. Because we know that already. We know intrinsically that we are supposed to reach out to other people. We know intrinsically that we are supposed to help others. We don't need Jesus Christ to come and teach us that. We don't need a Messiah to tell us that. What we need is salvation. Salvation from guilt, salvation from death, salvation from hell. And we need power to drink the cup of suffering, to walk in the path of service. We don't need another religious leader to say, follow me. We don't need another prophet like Muhammad. We don't need another philosophical Buddha or Confucius. We don't need another political organizer like a Karl Marx or a Mao Zedong. We don't need more New Age mysticism or psychological health self-help strategies. What we need, what we're dying without, is we need a Savior who can forgive our sins, who can pay the price and ransom us from guilt and death and the wrath of God, and who will give us the power to live a life that pleases Him. He says, it's only going to happen as you let me serve you. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Mark chapter 10, verse 45 is about. Jesus doesn't just come as another teacher or philosopher or politician or mystic. He comes to do two things. To give his life as a ransom for many. And we're going to look at that over the next 2 weeks in great detail. And he comes, secondly, to serve his disciples. To serve those who will stop trying to earn his approval by serving him. Who will humble themselves like little children and let him serve them. That's the help that we need. That's the power that we need. He is our redeemer from guilt and death and hell. He's our helper day in and day out. And he serves us by the power of the Spirit. We have to trust him. we have to yield to Him. We have to come under Him. Then number 10, we see becoming like children on Christmas. Becoming like children on Christmas. We have in our congregation right now a lot of little ones. Very little ones. You bring that little child into your home, and your life is radically changed. Right? You watch that little one, and you smile, and you pick them up, and you hold them, and you hear them coo, and you hear them sigh, and you hear them sob, and you feed them. You put them in the crib. You rock them to sleep. They have absolutely no ability to do anything for you. They are dependent on you serving them. What happens if they say, nope, I'm going to serve you? You're not doing anything for me. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take control. What happens? They die. Right? Can a newborn do anything to help themselves? No, they die. Why do you think Jesus said, unless you become like little children and come to me, you will die? Unless you quit trying to do it on your own, unless you quit trying to please me by all these things that you think are doing that earn your way to heaven, unless you are completely dependent on me, and unless you let me serve you, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to do anything of worth in my kingdom unless we give up and we let Him completely provide. We trust Him to serve us and give us the power to live for Him. Unless we become like little children. He says that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. We are completely dependent on Him. That's what the message of Christmas is about. Understanding I'm helpless. I'm useless. I can do absolutely nothing on my own. I have to trust Him 100% completely and yield to Him. Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you received Him and the ransom that He provided for you? Are you trusting in Him to serve you and to help you as you live a life that brings Him honor and glory to please Him? You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own ability, in your own strength. We have to trust Him. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that. And through this message, He's trying to teach us that. Are you 100% dependent on Jesus Christ? Do you understand who He is? Do you understand what He did for you? Over the next 2 weeks, as we look at what that means that He gave His life as a ransom for many. What are you trying to do in your own strength right now and you're failing? What are you trying to do for God in your own strength right now and you're failing? You may look good to everybody else, but He's looking at you saying you're not doing it. You think you're okay, but you're not. Because you're doing it on your own strength. She said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He's waiting, saying, let me serve you. Because if you want to do this for my glory, if you want to make any difference in my kingdom, let me do it through you.